you to stand with us this morning. Turn to 217. 217. They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, "Crucify him, he's to blame." He could have gone 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free.
I want to ask your prayers as I stand before you here for just a little while this morning. I want to read just a couple of verses, first of all, from the fourth chapter of the book of Joshua. If you want to read with me, turn to Joshua chapter 4. And I want to read verse 5 and 6. Joshua 4, verses 5 and 6. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? And it goes on in that and speaks about them instructing them in what they did mean and did signify. I want today to address primarily the young people of the church here. And it's very important that the things that we do, that you understand what they mean. Amen. That you understand why they are being done. The Lord did not want there with the children of Israel, and what we read about in Joshua chapter 4, the Lord did not want their children to just see a pile of stones and nothing else. He wanted them to know what the stones were about and what the stones meant. And we certainly need to teach our young people in the church what these things mean and why we observe them. We're going to observe today both of the ordinances of the church. And I want to speak to you today, and I want to ask all of you young members of the church today, in fact, all of you young people that are here today, please give attention for a little while to the word of the Lord, because I want to talk about these two ordinances and what they mean. And I want to state, first of all, that we do believe, and it is one of our practices of faith here at Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, that the Lord has given to us two church ordinances. I want you to remember that, first of all, that we observe two ordinances. Now, I want to read some scripture also, just a real short lesson again from Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 18, and read three verses. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, an ordinance is basically defined as a religious rite or ceremony. That's the basic definition of what an ordinance is. And I want to read to you from the New Hampshire Confession of Faith, which we, as old-time missionary Baptists, adopted years ago as our articles of faith. in Article 14 of Baptism and the Lord's Supper, it says, we believe that Christian baptism is the immersion in water of a believer in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost to show forth in a solemn and beautiful emblem our faith in the crucified, buried, and risen Savior, with its effect in our death to sin and resurrection to a new life, that it is prerequisite to the privileges of a church relation and to the Lord's Supper, in which the members of the church, by the sacred use of bread and wine, are to commemorate together the dying love of Christ, preceded always by a solemn self-examination. And I certainly hope that every member of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church that has come here today to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper has preceded this by a solemn self-examination. And I pray that your hearts and minds have spent some time prior to this reflecting upon what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us when He died on the cross of Calvary. This is serious what we're doing here today. This is very solemn and it's not to be taken lightly. I want to mention four things concerning these ordinances, that being the ordinance of the Lord's Supper and or the ordinance of baptism, rather, and the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And I want them to be in that order because that's the order in which they go. Jesus Himself instituted both ordinances, not man. These are not man-made. Jesus Christ Himself instituted both baptism and the Lord's Supper. We can find in the verses that were read from Matthew chapter 28 that it was Jesus that came to His church and He said, I want you to go, therefore, and I want you to teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And friends, in that commission, both of the ordinances were included. When Jesus said that we were to teach to observe all things, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper was included in that. So it was Jesus that commissioned the church to baptize those that believe. Now, let me say this again about water baptism. Water baptism is a beautiful thing, but water baptism will not benefit anybody unless they have first believed. We believe that baptism is the immersion in water of a believer. And we have practiced it as that. The church has practiced it as that ever since the Lord left the church here and commissioned the church. They have taken those that have been able to profess vital salvation, make a profession of a real new birth having taken place in their heart, and have immersed them underwater. You know, the Lord left us here to carry out the ordinances the way that He gave them. He left us here to take care of and maintain His house. And you know something? If I left you in charge of my house, if I was going away on a vacation or something, and I left you in charge of my house, and I gave you a key to go in and out of my house, and said, I want you to watch over my house while I'm gone, and I want you to take care of it while I'm gone, then while I was away, I would not expect you, and I would be upset if you did. I would not expect you, while you're watching over my house, to take my bathtub out and replace it with a stand-up shower. I wouldn't expect that, and neither does the Lord. The Lord left us baptism in the form of immersion to bury a person completely under the water, and that's the way He expects it to be done. And we don't have the right to change the mode of it, so we still today bury people under the water. Jesus instituted both ordinances. Now I want to say this also too, that the most important reason for maintaining these ordinances is not to perpetuate what the church has done throughout the years. The most important part of this today is not that we will do what the church was doing 50 years ago or 100 years ago or even back 2,000 years ago when the church was in her infancy. Perpetuating what the church does is not the most important part of this ordinance. The most important part of this ordinance is that we are still doing today what Jesus told the church to do. We're doing what the Lord told us to do. I'm glad and thankful that our forefathers down through the years have maintained it, but the most important part of these ordinances is that we are carrying out what the Lord Jesus Christ left us to do. Both of these ordinances, by their design, they speak to us about Jesus. I want to read just a few verses from Romans chapter 6, and I'm going to try as much as I can to do this in a timely manner, but I do want to read from Romans chapter 6 a few verses, beginning with verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Buried with Him through baptism. Now, I want to say this, and this will be the last point that I want to make. I want you all to understand, listen very closely, and understand this, that neither of these ordinances is literal. They are both symbolic. Baptism washes away our sins. I don't argue with that because the Bible says it does. Ananias, before he baptized Paul, he said, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." So baptism does wash away our sins, but what needs to be understood is that it does not wash away our sins literally. It does symbolically. If your sins have not been washed away in the blood of Christ, before you go into the water, they will not be washed away by the water. Only the blood of Christ can literally wash away our sins. But baptism does symbolically. That's what the Apostle Peter was talking about when he talked about baptism. And it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we are symbolizing in baptism the washing away of our sins, the burial in the water today, Mackenzie, the burial in water today of your body will symbolize that you have died to sin. We bury people when they die. That's what we do. We take them out and we bury them. And the burial in the water today will symbolize that you have died to sin, and bringing you up out of the water will symbolize that you have been spiritually saved and spiritually resurrected, and that you are to walk in newness of life, and you are to live from this day forward your life for the Lord. Live for Him. We show in this, we show the death and we show the resurrection of the Lord symbolically, and we show in this what we have experienced in being saved. I'm glad I was baptized into the Lord's church. I thank God for the day. They took me out in a creek right at the at the end of March, where spring and the end of winter and the beginning of spring comes together. And I mean, the water was ice cold, and I was taken out there, and the preacher immersed me in that water. And I'm thankful that I have been baptized and am a member of the Lord's church. But more than that, before I went into the waters of baptism, I'm thankful that I had come to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. And water baptism will not put Jesus Christ into you. It will symbolize what has already taken place. The Lord's Supper. Know this, that today, that all of us as members of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, when we take this bread and we take this cup today, we will not be eating the literal body of Christ. We will not be drinking His literal blood. Transubstantiation is a false doctrine. The bread does not literally turn into the body of Christ. The cup does not literally turn into the blood, the literal blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He left us these ordinances to symbolize what He had done. And as oft as we do this, we are to do it in remembrance of Him, and we show His death until He comes. You see, the Lord designed two ordinances, and He gave them to His church. And in these ordinances, we can see the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to see something in these things that we observe. We need to see more than just somebody today being put underwater. We need to see in our mind's eye and in our hearts, we need to have a proper picture today of what we're observing and what we're looking at and what we're seeing happen. If you walked up to a pile of stones and you looked at those stones, and that's all that you knew about them, was that there were 12 stones there, it wouldn't mean very much, would it? But to know that those stones were a memorial of when the children of Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, and how that God made the rivers of the Jordan stand up on a heap and separate where they could have walk through on dry ground and pass over into the promised land that God had promised to them and that they had finally arrived at. Knowing that, suddenly that pile of stones became much more than just a pile of stones, didn't it? And if we understand the ordinances, then they become much more than just what we may literally see. They have great meaning. And Jesus left them to us to observe them until the time that He comes to take us home to be with Him. I'm going to ask for a song at this time. And I want to ask Sister Mackenzie Ford, if she would, to come forward. And we're going to take her to the water. we're going to administer the ordinance of baptism at this time. Sister McKenzie.
Number 35. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Third verse. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, washed in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. 43. There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of the ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know, fills my every longing. It keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath the sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes He leads to waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far above the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Number 44.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is
mountains be green beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory, and I heard about the street of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
108, 108.
On the cross of Calvary, our blessed